Today, the United States Supreme Court invalidated the federal sentencing system. As NPR's Nina Totenberg reports, the result will be a return to broad discretion for federal judges when it comes to sentencing.
Congress enacted the federal sentencing system 20 years ago with the aim of eradicating disparities in sentencing. Although the system was called a sentencing guideline system, the guidelines were in fact mandatory, with a grid for judges to use in evaluating what sentences should be meted out. And frequently, judges were required to consider conduct that was not put before the jury. Indeed, in some cases, judges were required to add time onto a sentence based on a crime that prosecutors alleged, but that the defendant had been acquitted of. In recent years, however, the Supreme Court has held repeatedly that sentences beyond the statutory maximum must be based on conduct found by a jury, not a judge. The Sixth Amendment right to a jury trial, the court has said, requires that sentences be based on criminal conduct found by a jury of one's peers, beyond a reasonable doubt, and not by a judge using a lesser standard. That put the whole federal sentencing scheme in doubt, and today the Supreme Court, in effect, throughout the system, not only for those sentences that exceed the mandatory maximum, but for all sentences.
The remedy is a stunning embrace of judicial power.
Sentencing guru Doug Berman of Ohio State University says the grand irony is that in the application of a rule about jury power,
we get in the federal system a remedy that is as sort of pro-judge as any possible remedy you could imagine.
Today's ruling came in the case of Freddie Booker, who was convicted of selling 3 ounces of cocaine. Under the sentencing system, given his previous drug record, the maximum sentence Booker would have faced for this crime would have been 23 years in prison. The judge, however, sentenced him to 8 additional years because the judge concluded that Booker had in fact sold more drugs prior to his arrest and that he lied on the witness stand. Booker's lawyers contended that the 8-year add-on was unconstitutional under the Supreme Court's recent rulings because the add-on was for crimes not put before the jury. Today, the Supreme Court agreed, but in a seemingly contradictory second part of its ruling, the court said that such added-on penalties are unconstitutional only if they are mandated by Congress, not if they are arrived at through the discretion of the judge. The contradictory decisions came about because one justice, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, switched sides, agreeing with 4 members of the court that the judge in the current system could not add on the 8 years, and with a separate group of 4 justices that the system could be saved and the judge could impose the additional time if the system is voluntary and not mandatory. The first section of the opinion, requiring juries to be the fact finders, was written by Justice John Paul Stevens, and the second part, that takes that power away from juries if judicial sentencing guidelines are voluntary, was written by Justice Stephen Breyer. Breyer also said that sentences would be subject to appeal and that they could be invalidated as too harsh or too soft if deemed unreasonable by appellate courts. Justice Stevens objected that the Breyer opinion turned the system on its head, and an outraged Justice Antonin Scalia blasted the Breyer majority for being more interested in preserving the power of judges than in adhering to the, quote, old-fashioned process of having juries find the facts that expose a defendant to increased prison time. The worst feature of the scheme devised today, said Scalia, is that no one knows, and perhaps no one is meant to know, how advisory guidelines and unreasonableness review by appellate courts will function in practice. Time may tell, he said, but today's majority will not. Indeed, few experts today had any idea how all this will play out. While Freddie Booker's sentence was invalidated by one part of today's decision, his lawyers said that in the end, Booker may well end up with the same sentence. True, under today's decision, a judge may not be required to impose the additional time, but he may if he chooses. As a result, the Justice Department said today it would no longer require prosecutors to put before the jury all conduct that is used as the basis for sentencing. Paul Kaminar of the conservative Washington Legal Foundation said nonetheless that he believes today's ruling may limit some of the too harsh penalties of the old mandatory system.
We think that judges will be more rational in imposing their sentence, but ultimately the Congress will have the last word on this.
Gerald Lefcourt, past president of the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, agreed that Congress will almost certainly now try to fix the system, and while Lefcourt said he hopes for careful hearings and legislation, he's worried.
There are people in Congress for whatever reason, who don't trust federal judges, and they want to, in effect, impose their will.
Harvard Law Professor Bill Stunt says that the real question now is political.
If federal judges take this freedom that the court has given them to significantly lower federal sentences, because now they're not bound by the sentencing guidelines, Congress is going to come along, and Congress is going to write a much harsher federal sentencing system.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.